In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I'm just here to share something on my heart with all of you. I'm sure all of you heard about the departure of Eric a few weeks ago. And this touched my heart, and I feel like this taught us, or I'm sure God wants to teach us a big lesson out of this. If no one else would learn a lesson, I hope all of us as servants would just really learn a good lesson out of this. Believe it or not, Eric was in my Sunday school class in KG, K5, back in Canada. And I remember definitely him by name. I remember going and visiting him in his house, and he was definitely a very small and pure kid. And thank God we are comforted that God, he's in a good place. But I'm sure most of you know that in the end, the devil was really trying to work hard and to shake his faith and to shake a lot of our youth's faith. And I feel like God wants to teach us a lot out of this. Us servants, maybe no one else, but us servants for sure. But before I tell you, I just want to ask you a question. Like, for all of us servants here, what do you think our number one responsibility, our number one job as servants, what does God expect of us? Tell people about him. Pray for the souls of those God entrusted us with. Care for our own salvation. And when we care for our own salvation, what happens? In the service. Like, each and every one of us here is entrusted over a few souls, at least by name, right? Like, we are working hard on making sure every servant has a group of people they're reaching out to. What is our primary job with those people? Get them to heaven. The salvation of their souls. If you want to put it in other words, how would you put it? How do we do that? Show them God's love. And make sure they taste for themselves God's love. Like, I know this person is safe if this person by themselves can feed themselves God's love, and they have this close relationship with God. Then I know, khalas, they're safe, they tasted, they're grounded in this love, then they are safe. Okay? So our job is not just to teach and run, and our job is not just to prepare a lesson and give it, but our primary job is to make sure that whatever we told them, they're really applying it in their life. Okay? Okay. You know, there is a verse, Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was. So why did he come? To seek and to save what was lost. And he said that he came that he may give us life, and he may give it to us more abundantly. And this better life that he's giving us is what life? Is eternal life. And he gives us to taste it down here a bit and enjoy it up in heaven. So that's what we want. Our prayer is that we make it to heaven, and those God entrusted us make it to heaven. And we would stand in front of God and tell him, here I am, and those people you've entrusted me with. Okay? So, do we really, really understand that if God called me to service, it's an honor, but it is also a big responsibility. And he will ask me about every name he entrusted me with. Okay? And my job is not to... I cannot force someone, but I can do my part. And if I have done my part, that's all I'm asked to do. Okay? So we'll talk briefly what my part is, but we need to understand that this is a responsibility. So we never take it lightly, or never think, oh, I'm a Sunday school teacher, and laugh about it and be proud about it, because it's more a responsibility than something to be proud about. Okay? Okay. I feel like through this also God is confirming to us the theme of this year. Okay? He's confirming to us that we really have, like in the beginning of the year, we said we have 1 year to live, but God wants us to practice it in another theme, which is, when Anthony repeats it again and again almost in every sermon, one day to live. And I feel like this was really in front of our eyes, we saw it, you know? Yeah, no one knows when, like, my life can end in one day. And if I have one day to live, or the person God entrusted me with has one day to live, what should I be doing differently? I will tell you in a minute. So I just want to make sure also again that every soul God entrusted me with, it's not a number, it's a soul, and its value is, what's the value of every soul? The life of Christ, the blood of Christ. So he gave me something very precious to take care of. I'm not sure if Moura sent you this link, a sermon by Amba Yusuf. Not yet? Okay. She will send it to you. But Amba Yusuf, in a sermon to the servants, he was saying, when he asks people, servants, he asks them, so how many do you have in your list? How many kids do you have in the class? How many people you're responsible over? And sometimes he hears the answer, I'm not sure, about 15, 20, 15, 17. And this terrifies him, because if I am not sure how many people God entrusted me with, and two or three are going to fall off this number, that's something really huge. Because these are souls that God is going to help to hold us accountable for. So we need to be very careful. Every name is a soul, it's not a number. Trust me, I'm not here to overwhelm you, but I think it's just a wake-up call to all of us that we need to make sure we are all on the same page. And how are we all on the same page? Do we all here agree? Do we all here agree together that we need to be as faithful as we can in reaching out every name, every soul? We do our part, okay? How do we do that practically? Anyone here does not have a list of servants? If I'm a coordinator, I have a list of servants. If I am a servant, I have a list of people I am serving. Anyone here does not have specific names that they've been asked to reach out to. If I'm a small group leader, then I have my whole small group, every soul in the small group. Anyone here does not relate to that? Okay. So how do I go about this task? Two things only. One of them was already mentioned. The most important one. To pray fervently by name to those I'm serving. If some of them are giving me a hard time, if some of them don't come at all, if some of them I know they exist but they just never reply, my job is to only pray, and pray and pray fervently, and put their names on the altar and ask Abuna to pray with me, and just pray. And what will prayer do? Huh? God will change their hearts. The prayer kind of, you know, as I've seen so clearly with this story, but I'm sure all of you kind of can relate to this. The devil does not leave God's children alone. The devil does not leave us alone, mind you, those little ones. As servants, we know we are fought day and night, and we keep on holding on to God because we kind of somewhat reached maturity. But those little ones did not reach that maturity yet. So the devil whenever they're vulnerable, he kind of traps them and kind of puts ties and ties and ties. And my prayers and your prayers kind of keeps on breaking those walls. The more I pray, the more those walls or those ties are going to be broken. And we need to believe that, because if I'm going to pray without faith, it's useless. But I need to believe that those prayers are doing something, and God is going to do something through those prayers, okay? And God is mightier, and the prayers meaning I'm letting God do something in their life, okay? That's number one. And number two, I want to hear it loud from everyone. Outreach. Number two is outreach. Number two will not be in a meeting when I'm sitting and I'm talking to the class. Number two is when I go one-on-one, this list I have, I want to make sure that they are. What do I concretely want to make sure they're doing? That will give me peace that they are on the right track. Feeding themselves spiritually, practically how? Through the quiet time, through the Bible reading, through partaking of the sacraments, like at least those four, partaking of the sacrament of confession regularly, repentance and confession, and communion. And making sure they at home are praying and they're doing their quiet time and ideally reading their Bible. Okay? And what do these things do? I really hope you digest this very well. What do these five things do in a person's life? Like, our heart is very fragile, okay? And if I don't keep on doing those things regularly, my heart will harden. And that's what we see. Like, we talk to them, and they have no desire to have a relationship with God anymore. Like, their heart has hardened already. And when it hardens, it can get harder and harder to the point they kind of, I don't want anything to do with the church. I don't want anything to do with you guys. Just stay away from my life. My life is fun like that. And the devil kind of has really pulled them very far, okay? So we want to make sure before they reach that point, the younger, the better, and before they reach this hard-heartedness, we reach them, and we make sure to show them that, and we will show them, and I will come to that as a conclusion, we need to show them that God is good. We need to show them that life with God is the best life you can ever have. And if I tell them, they will not get it. But if I am living it, they will get it, okay? And if I am really excited about my life with God and I am tasting this better life, then they will believe me, okay? So I pray that all of us servants understand how the devil is working. Like, it's very clear the devil is working nonstop, not for us to be discouraged, but for us to know. And once we know that, we can counterattack. So we are God's We are in the battlefield, so we are God's soldiers. We are God's army. And who is going to fight? God inside me and inside you. Okay? And you need to see that very clearly, that God inside me and inside you is so strong and so mighty, because all of us servants feel like we're living a defeated life. But we are being attacked. We're not living a defeated life. We're being attacked because we're a threat to the devil, because he knows that God will use us to bring many to him. Okay? So the God in me and the God in you is going to fight, but I need to know that I am a soldier and God is going to speak through me. God is going to reach out through me. God is going to do everything through me, and he will do it and he will prevail. But I need to do my job, which is, we talked about what I do with those I am outreaching. What do I do with myself? I need to make sure I'm always connected with God. That's all. Okay? Before I conclude with how to be totally connected with God, just a message of hope in the end, I just want to emphasize, how do we do outreach? What's the main key to outreach? In order for me to reach out to someone and this person kind of interacts with me, what will make them interact with me? Build a relationship. And how do I build a relationship? Sometimes they're very smart. Okay, not sometimes, they're very smart. They will know, this servant is nagging and calling and wanting to reach out to me because they want me to go to church, because they want me to do something spiritual, okay? But if you don't prove to them that you're not there just for that, because you really care, because you really love, because you really want to be involved in their lives, they don't want that, because a lot of them, their hearts are already hardened, you know? So they kind of, If you want me to come to church, I don't care about you. I don't want you. Stay away. But if you want to invest in their lives, and if you really care about them, and your goal is not just for them to know God, and then you're going to back off, then they will know that you're sincere. And then they will open up. And then they will trust you. And then when you tell them about God, they will believe you. But doing kind of a job, it will not work. I need to invest in a relationship and in love. And sometimes those who are most annoying and most hurtful to me are the most needy of my love and my care and my nagging. Trust me. Those, they receive your message, their heart melts, but at the same time, the devil makes sure he hardens it. So don't give up. Never give up. Okay? Never give up, because the day you give up could be the day they are ready to answer. Their heart has softened already. They know that you're committed, because some of them think, okay, you're going to call today, you're going to call tomorrow, and then you're going to give up because you're not on a mission. But if you call today and tomorrow and next month and the month after until the end of the year, then they know you're really sincere and you're really committed. And maybe at the end of the year, they will answer. And maybe in 2 years. Don't be discouraged. Okay. So through those quiet times, through those outreaches, eventually my goal is to build a relationship and then make sure that they reach a point of feeding themselves. And once they reach a point where they feed themselves, then they're ready to become either missionaries or servants, and then you know they're solid, okay? Okay. Just one more point in outreach. Sometimes after I build this relationship and I know that they are living a life, yani they're going down a dangerous road, and I built already this relationship, sometimes you get a voice, not from God, that tells you it's okay, continue to build this relationship. But understand that sometimes God will want you to be very firm and be very strict and be very harsh once they know you love them. Sometimes you will need to be very firm and very harsh and tell them the truth, the total truth, up front. And as the verse says here in James 5:20, it says, "He who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death." I'll say it again. He who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. Sometimes you feel like you need to give it to them. Don't be scared, okay? To give it to them once they know you really love them. And there is another verse here. Yeah, here. Jude 20, verse 23. It says, "But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Like sometimes some of them are really heading towards a road. Like maybe if you wait till tomorrow, they have plunged themselves in the fire already. So may God give us wisdom. And I'm sure, trust me, as we go about outreach in prayer, God is the one who's going to speak. God is the one who's going to give me the boldness. God is the one who's kind of telling, no, don't talk today. Just build a relationship. And other times he will tell me, just be bold. And he will speak. He will do the work. He will fight the fight on our behalf. And we're just a tool in his hand. Okay. So in the beginning, when I asked what is the primary job of a servant, Mona answered and said, to save my own soul. So I need to taste for myself first that God is great and God is good, and once I have that, then I'm on the right track. Now, just the one obstacle, the main obstacle that comes in the way is what? For us servants. Is discouragement. You know, we have a big list on the first day we served, we signed a big agreement, okay, and God is asking us to do so many things as servants. Okay, we're asked to pray and fast and prepare and outreach and 100 other things on the list. And when we don't do these things, what happens? What should we do? What is God expecting of us? Is He expecting little or much? Huh? God is expecting a lot from us, and He's expecting from us everything He asked us to do. He's expecting it from us. Are we going to be able to do all these things He asked us to do? Don't be shy to answer. Usually no. Usually no. We will not be able to do everything God asked us to do. But if is everything He asked us to do, are we supposed to do? Yes, we are supposed to do everything God asked us to do. But we are not there yet. What will allow us to do everything God asked us to do? Yes, His grace. His grace is what will allow us to do everything He asked us to do. How do we get this grace? When do we get this grace? When we ask for it. I will answer you and say, my job is to do two things. To repent and to ask for grace. But when will He give me this grace? It's His timing. Okay? My job is to repent. My job is everything on this agreement I fall short in. God forgive me. I slacked in this area today. God forgive me. I did not do this today. God forgive me. I offended this person today. That's my job. And this, in God's eyes, is what He wants me to do. He wants me to live a life of repentance. Is when I do something wrong, I call it by its name. And I don't give myself excuses. That's the job of a faithful servant, is to offer repentance every day, 24 hours a day if need be. And when I fall, I tell Him, God forgive me, please help me to do better. Please, that's asking for grace. Please help me to do better. Please help me to stop doing this sin. Please help me to stop asking for grace. So repentance, asking for grace. When will this grace come? When am I going to live a victorious life? In His timing. And every one of us will be different. God can give you grace on a day different than me, and can give every one of us a different kind of grace in different times. And that's God's job, and it's in His timing. And should I give up? Should I be disappointed? Should I just be frustrated when I don't have this grace? No. As long as I'm asking and as long as I'm repenting, خلاص, that's my job. In God's eyes, I'm a faithful servant. Okay? And God will give us grace at the right time, because sometimes He does not give us the grace to protect us, His servants, to protect us from pride, to protect us from different things that we don't understand. Okay? So you'll be a faithful servant in God's eyes if you're living a life of repentance and asking for grace. And trust me, God will give us grace, all of us, in His right timing. Okay? Do you have any comments or questions?
I can serve someone in Sunday school, and I give them sincere love, and I keep asking about them. Next year, the list changes, and he's not in my list. Even I don't bother to say hi to him. I mean, you don't know how much it hurts the one who is being served when he feels that you are acting and not just really serving him.
Okay, let's conclude with a prayer, and then we will split into every service. We'll go, it's meeting, small groups, leaders are meeting with me right here, okay? Don't leave or else. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You because You are the God of grace, and You are the Father of lights, and You are the one who gives every good gift. Every good gift is from You. We can never, Lord, have any gifts away from You or outside of You. We ask, Lord, that You fill us with Your Holy Spirit and fill us with Your grace, and give us, Lord, to wait faithfully like the Canaanite women, Lord, who was waiting for You to heal her daughter and to bless her. Like the tax collector who stood before You empty and just waiting for you to fill him and to bless his life. We are your servants, we are your children. We want to serve you faithfully and we want to do your will and we want to please you. And if we fall short, Lord, give us the sincere heart that wants to come back. Give us, Lord, to seek every single soul as this is their last day or it's our last day. Give us to do that, Lord, with all faithfulness, and encourage us and help us the same way you give grace and blessing, authority to the disciples. Give us also, Lord. We ask this in the name of our Lord, God and Savior, Jesus Christ, through intercession of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, and all your saints, when we pray thankfully, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not temptations, but deliver us from evil. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for in the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.